every mom has had moments where you think, what else could go wrong? And it feels like everything is just piling up against you. Well, in this episode, you can listen in on my conversation with an amazing mom who shares her story of survival through the most extreme of circumstances. This is one you won't want to miss. Welcome to Mom's Guide to Finding Herself, where we share stories of side hustles and surviving while parenting young children. I'm your host, Chrissy Bold. Let's make motherhood less lonely and help you find joy in being you again. You know those moments as a parent when you feel like you can't possibly handle like even one more thing? I have those days often. I mean, just the other day, my kids were sick. My three-year-old had been up since like 1 a.m. He woke up with these night terrors, and then the other one woke up, and I just didn't know how I could possibly make it through the day. I was so exhausted. And I remember sitting there thinking, I am not cut out for this. And I bet you've been there too, right? Maybe you're there right now listening to this while you're hiding in your bathroom for just 5 minutes of peace. Or maybe you're driving and still thinking about that morning meltdown that happened. You know, could be yours or your kids. No judgment here, right? We all have those moments where parenting feels completely overwhelming, where we might question every decision we're making and wonder if we're doing any of this right. And that's exactly why I am so excited about today's episode, because sometimes we need a reminder that we are so much stronger than we think we are. That even when it feels like we're barely keeping our heads above water, we have this incredible capacity to rise to whatever challenges are coming our way. Today, I'm talking with Tara Pyfrom. Tara is a mom to an 11-year-old girl and three dachshunds. She was born and raised in the Bahamas. Tara's parenting journey took an unimaginable turn when she found herself trapped in her attic with her family during Hurricane Dorian, the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Bahamas. Since then, she's moved to New Brunswick, Canada, and is now a published author and freelance writer. Her story isn't just about surviving a natural disaster. It's about finding the strength you never knew you had. And I think that's something that every parent can relate to. You can read more about her story and her memoir, The Ocean in Our Blood, but I am so excited to share with you her journey to motherhood and a peek into this experience that she had today.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Tara.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. Your story is just amazing. You've been through a lot and you've come out with some amazing things that you've created from it. And I can't wait to dive into each individual aspect, like all of it, I am so excited for. So let's start at the beginning with your story. Who were you before becoming a mom?
So I was born and raised in the islands of the Bahamas.
Wow.
My family goes back 8, 9 generations. We're all island people. So very interesting, unique upbringing. Grew up on a really tiny island before, you know, growing up a bit and deciding that the tiny island was too tiny.
Sure.
So moved to a larger island with a bigger city and was working in office administration. So as an administrative assistant for a lot of years, never had any training in that, just kind of what I fell into out of high school, and ended up working in lots of legal offices and other office situations, managing offices. And then my wife and I met in 2007.
Okay.
We, you know, started building our life together, got married in 2010.
Yeah.
In Vermont, as it happens, because that was one of the places that we could get married at that point.
Sure. Yeah.
And we just, you know, building a wonderful life together.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so great. And I had a short, like, I feel like dating span like that. I feel like 3 years is pretty short. But when you know, you know.
Exactly.
And it clicks and it's great. It's wonderful. So I'm so glad you found that. And how fun to, I mean, how horrible you had to leave your country to get married, but like you have a nice story in Vermont, and I feel like that's a good place to have memories made.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah, when you live on the beach, you go to the mountains for
yes.
trips.
That's what they say, right? Yeah. Was growing up in the Bahamas like you would imagine, where it's like kind of Moana, where you're like getting seashells and all these cute things? Or was it just like, you know, life is life wherever you are?
You are not the first person that has compared my growing up in the Bahamas to Moana, and it's not that far off.
Wow.
Obviously not, you know, the thatch huts kind of situation.
Right.
But lots of ocean, lots of beach, lots of ocean activities. You know, the kids are swimming in the ocean alone all the time because that's just what we do for fun.
Wow. I know. I feel like this is the phase of parenting that I'm in right now. You can tell we watch a lot of it.
Yes.
I mean, it's either that or Frozen. So that's my life right now. So tell me, how did you know you were ready to start your family and become a mom?
My wife and I started talking about it very early on. It was something that was always something that I wanted to be a part of my life. I wanted to be a mom. At one point in my, you know, teenage, early adult years, I'm going to have 3 kids. We settled on 1.
Yeah.
Kids are expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, just lots of conversations back and forth between us and that we did want to have a family and that was important to us.
That's great. And so you made that happen. So tell me about your process a little bit about how your daughter came into your life.
So we decided that for us, adoption was the best option. And so we went through that entire process. And then the process of adopting is quite different from the process of, you know, male and female decide that they're going to have a baby. Sometimes that takes a little bit more work for some people than others. And you, 9 months later, you have a baby. For us, it was a longer process, lots of paperwork, so much paperwork and home visits and things to make sure that we were going to be stable parents, all of those things.
Right.
Yeah. And so we adopted our daughter in 2013 and she came to us as a day old infant.
Oh, so special.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad that that process, I'm sure it was a roller coaster of emotions to get there and try to figure out, and probably even during the process, like, are we sure we want to do this?
Oh, lots of that. Lots of back and forth. You know, I have 20 pages of questions that I need to answer in order to be deemed suitable to adopt the child. And a very introspective process. They want to know why you want to have a kid and how your life, how your upbringing is going to impact your parenting skills and like all of this very deep stuff that I just want to have a baby. I haven't really given too much thought to how I'm going to raise the baby yet. So a lot of communicating with my wife and I on thinking about how we're going to parent and all of the hoops that we had to jump through to accomplish it.
Definitely. And I'm sure there was a lot of self-doubt in there as you're evaluating these really deep introspective questions, thinking,
yes,
wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be a mom.
Yes, a lot of that. And of course, no two people are identical, right? And
sure.
So my perspective on the entire process was a little bit different than my wife's perspective on the entire process. And so finding the middle ground and coming together on that, there were a lot of emotions surrounding that as well.
Wow. Now, the process of preparing for a baby for anyone who's birthing a child, a lot of that pre-preparation is about like the birth, the actual like pregnancy and labor. Mm-hmm. And then they have a baby and they have like, I did not prepare for this at all. This part of it. Did you find that any of this paperwork led you to feel more prepared for having a baby?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, absolutely not. It was still, you know, for us, our process of adopting, you know, when you get pregnant, roughly nine months from now, a baby's
sure.
going to arrive. With our process, there was a much smaller window of
sure.
the baby's here you go. And so we actually got caught quite unaware. And so we didn't have the nursery ready and here's the baby. And now you're responsible now. Off you go. A little bit dumped in the deep end. And kind of struggling to, okay, what do we do with the baby now that we've got it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because you probably had no idea like when this whole process would be over. You're doing all this paperwork, but that's a whole different thing in itself. That's not baby prep. That's administrative.
Yes, exactly.
So then, once you're submitted, you have to take a deep breath. And then all of a sudden it's like, here you go. Good luck.
Yep. Yes.
Oh my goodness. So tell me what your early days of parenting were like. What was this transition like for you?
It was exhausting. Yeah. having a brand new infant is exhausting in ways that you didn't possibly think you could be exhausted. So much joy, so much laughter, but at the same time, just I'm up 5 and 6 times a night and then I need to be present during the day because she's awake during the day as well.
Right.
So a lot of physically managing the process of being a parent. Our daughter was very colicky. She didn't sleep well. She didn't feed well. a lot of tears, a lot of nights where you just, I can't do this. I have to do this, but I just can't do this. Right. So it was very much a roller coaster of ups and downs for the first 11 months, almost a year of her life, before she kind of settled into eating solid food, which really just right. changed everything.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. I know having a baby who was not a good sleeper and cried a lot too, like that transition to motherhood, you're like, why do people do this?
Why did I decide I wanted this?
Right.
I thought I was going to be able to handle it, but I really can't.
I know, right? Did you find having any sort of like post-baby anxiety or anything like that come about?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Lots of anxiety, lots of self-doubt. And am I doing this right? Everything I'm trying is not making the... She's suffering. She's hurting. I can't help. Why can't I help? It's a lot of that.
Oh, do you have family that was close by at the time?
We did have some family. They weren't terribly close by. The Bahamas is a bunch of islands. So there's no, you know, get in the car and go to grandma's house because grandma lives on another island and you have to fly to do that. So we had a good circle of friends who had children before. And so there was a lot of, well, try this or try that. Or I'm going to come by and just look after the baby for an hour so you can sleep, which was super helpful.
And when you say get on a plane, it's not like what a lot of people are doing with their kids going on like a Delta airline. Like this isn't a jetliner are going on.
No. A lot of most of the flights that fly between the islands and the Bahamas are dual prop airplanes. In some cases, it's a small, like 10-seater aircraft. I've been flying on tiny planes my entire life, so it's not a big deal to me. But for someone who's, only ever been on those giant Delta airline flights, it's kind of scary to be on a little, you know, 6-10-seater aircraft.
Right. Now, I mean, yeah, for somebody like me, it's terrifying to think about. I've only been on a small plane maybe once, and like it was scary. But for you, obviously, it was much different. You had more confidence in it.
Yes.
But what about with a brand new baby? Did that change your perspective at all?
It really didn't. It was just, a way of life for us. It's a way I was brought up. Our daughter was on her first airplane at a month old, and we didn't stop.
Yeah. Because I know, like, even driving in the car was terrifying for me with the baby all of a sudden. Like, everybody, you need to slow down. You don't understand.
I know, the car seat. Did I put it in right? I think I put it in right. It's moving. Is it supposed to move? All of those things.
All of them, right? Yes. Oh, my gosh. So, yes, my heart goes out to you with already having some anxiety about having a new baby to have to travel, like, actually travel in a plane to go see family members, mm-hmm. if that's what you're going to do. Oh, my gosh. So you, after a year, sounds like you finally started to get into routine and feel more rested and more like yourself again.
Yes. Yeah. She I think the first time she slept through the night, she was 11 months old. After we switched over from formula to cereal and then cereal to baby food, then it was filling her stomach and she wasn't as colicky. And so then we were getting 6-8 hours of sleep at a night. So it was much more manageable once you get your sleep.
Oh, that yes, definitely. Because it's different. You think when you're preparing for a baby that the sleepless nights you can handle, you're like, I've done that before. Oh, I've gone through a sleepless night. But mm-hmm. you don't realize you're not going to be able to sleep the whole day the next day.
Exactly. Or like, I had a bad night's sleep tonight. I'll sleep better, you know, tomorrow night. Except you're doing that for months at a time.
Months. Yes. And at the moment, there's no end in sight. Like, I'm still in it where I'm getting like 4 hours some mm-hmm. nights. And it's just,
it's
you get
lot.
Used to it, though.
You figure it out. Somehow your body manages to function on 4 hours of sleep where you never could before.
Yes. Coffee, I'm sure, helps.
Yes.
So we're lucky to have those things. Now, what was your routine like once you had her in more of a manageable state? What kinds of things were you doing with your family?
So we would go to the beach a lot. We had our infant in the ocean at 3 months old. That was just, again, part of our upbringing, the way that we grew up. The ocean is a part of who we are. And so our little 3-month-old had her little baby bikini and we were splashing in the water at 3 months old and never stopped. She learned to swim at 3 years old. And she's a little fish and can dive 12 feet at 5 years old. So she was just lots of ocean and lots of beach. We traveled quite a bit, not just within the Bahamas, but other places. We were travelers before our daughter was born. And once we got over that, year hump of, okay, now we can sleep for more than a few hours at a time. Okay, what trip are we going on next? And gosh knows, those long airline flights are not easy with infants and toddlers, and we did it anyway.
Good for you. That's fantastic. What kinds of places did you go?
So when she was young, we did some touring in the United States. We went up in the mountains. We did a trip back to Vermont when she was 6 months old. We have really cute pictures of her sitting in the leaves, you know, because seasons are not a thing in the Bahamas. It's right. Summer. So leaves and snow and all of that. We took a snow vacation 1 year to the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania, and she got to see her first snow at two. And we made little Olaf snowmen. So we had a good time. She was five. We did our first transatlantic trip. So we had our five-year-old on an eight-hour flight to Spain.
Wow.
Again, not the easiest thing, but the reward was the experience.
Yeah, I can understand that, especially if traveling was so much a big part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Before children, having your child then be a part of that, it just brings out a whole other layer of, I mean, children just bring up a whole other lens of everything you do and everything
Absolutely.
You loved before having
mm-hmm.
them. So that's amazing that you were able to do that. And how special you were able to go back to Vermont together and have that location with all these memories, and now mm-hmm. you're building them with another person in your
yep.
life. Now you have an 11-year-old. So tell me, what are some of the things having a more independent child, let's go with that, than my three-year-old and my two-year-old. What are some of the things, looking back, that maybe I shouldn't be stressing about? Like, what's your advice to me as a mom of young kids?
My advice looking back is, a lot of people think that they need to speak a child's language. We need to give them as little information as possible because they don't need all that information. But in our experience, communicating really clearly with our daughter, even from a young age, one, super duper increased her vocabulary.
Yeah.
Two, super duper increased her independence from a young age, and her own ability to communicate with us. So we talked a lot about emotions and naming emotions. And this emotion that you're feeling right now is called frustration, instead of just happy, sad, mad. And there were lots of conversations about that, and teaching her about how to communicate. And doing that by speaking to her, in a lot of ways, the way that I would speak to you. This is how I'm feeling today. These are the words that I use. I know this is why I'm feeling this way. This is why you might be feeling this way. And so for us, that was really important. And that really helped the process of getting her from, you know, the two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old. Gosh knows, four is way harder than two.
Oh, boy. Something to look forward to.
Four is way harder than two. And yeah, so getting over those humps of, there's lots of big emotions and they don't have the words that go with them. So that's we really found that was helpful getting to this point at 11, you know.
Yeah, they're so much more capable than we think at their mm-hmm. young ages to understand. Like, we don't have to shelter them as much as we think we do.
Yeah.
So your life, it sounds like you got into a really great routine. You were living this beautiful life on the beach, and then the unimaginable happened. Tell me about this turning point in your life.
Yeah, so the unimaginable did happen. I mean, if you know, you watch disaster movies on TV, and lots of disaster movies, and you watch them and you think, oh gosh, this family is going through this terrible thing, and you know, it's all fiction. It's pretend. And in the end, everyone's fine. We had a real life natural disaster. Now, living in the Bahamas, hurricanes are a way of life. We have been experiencing hurricanes my entire life. Over the course of the last 25 years, they've been increasing in frequency, increasing in size and intensity. But we were used to it. We knew what to do and when to do it and how to stay safe. And then in 2019, we had the monster of all hurricanes. Hurricane Dorian was the strongest hurricane ever to hit the Bahamas in the history of recorded history. And we thought that we were prepared. We did all of the things that we always did to prepare for hurricanes, and we were nowhere near prepared. We had 185 mile per hour winds, which is like a EF2 tornado, except that lasted for 48 hours.
Wow.
We had 20 to 30 feet of ocean storm surge. So our house was elevated about 10 feet above sea level. We had 9 feet of ocean inside of our house, with us inside. No escape. No one can come and rescue you. You're stuck.
Did you have you must have had a two-story home.
We did not.
Oh, my God.
We had a single-story home. The foundation was elevated because we're on the islands and we know that water is possible. But when we think water is possible, we're thinking like 12 inches of water is possible, not 19 feet. So we ended up having to swim around in our house for hours with our then 6-year-old and 5 dogs floating on furniture, sitting on top of kitchen countertops. Eventually, the water got higher than the countertops and we're floating on couches and on beds. And after hours of just keeping our heads above water, we finally had to make the decision to go into our attic. We had a ladder that got us up into our attic, but we did not have dormer windows. It was not a livable space. There was no exit from the attic.
So once you were there, you were there.
That's it. You're stuck. There's no way out. And we were in our attic for 24 hours. No electricity, no light. Terrified that the water was going to get high enough to drown us in the attic.
Right.
Terrified that the roof was going to fly off at any moment. We were able to keep everyone safe. We were able to keep all of the dogs from drowning. Our daughter was a great swimmer, thank goodness, because it would have been an entirely different process. We didn't have life jackets. We didn't have a raft. We didn't have a kayak. We used a floating cot mattress as a raft inside of our house for hours. And eventually, the storm left. Eventually, the water receded. And when the water and the storm left to a point that it was safe for rescuers to come out, mind you, they were still out in 75-mile-per-hour wind. And they came and rescued us, little open boat. It was dangerous to be rescued at that point, but it was more dangerous not to be. And so we were able to get to safety. And eventually, 48 hours later, we were evacuated from the island. In the end, over 70 people in the country died. We very well could have been 3 of them.
Absolutely. So this isn't drinkable water. You can't drink hurricane
this is ocean.
Overflow. This is ocean
this
water
is ocean.
Filled with everything that it's
filled
up.
filled with debris, right. Filled with seaweed, filled with sewage, because you know the ocean rose enough to back up all of our sewage, so we're swimming around in sewage ocean water for hours.
Right, so you don't have, you're in an attic. Was there some water in the attic, or were you mostly dry?
So no, we the water ended up stopping about 6 inches from our ceiling and our living space.
Great. Okay, so
if we hadn't gone to the attic, we would have been, you know, with our face pressed against the ceiling, trying to suck on a little bit of an air bubble. But the water did not follow us to the attic. We did not have any drinking water in the attic. I ended up making a separate trip back down into the flooded house to retrieve a bottle of water. We managed to have some peanut butter and crackers with us for the 24 hours we were in the attic. I will never eat peanut butter again.
I'm sure.
Ever.
Right. Absolutely not. Yeah. Wow. So good thing you were a strong swimmer.
Yes, very good thing we were strong swimmers.
Holy cow. What was the rescue like?
So the rescue, when they rescued us, our yard, our backyard area was all still flooded. We could walk chest high. So we're out chest high in water that's moving really fast. We've got dogs under each arm. The rescuer's got a dog under each arm. I've got my daughter wrapped around my chest, trying not to fall over in 75-mile-an-hour wind. The process of getting on the boat was very, hurry, do this, do that. The boat's going to sink if you don't move fast. Very touch and go. But they got us out of there. They got us into a temporary shelter. And then we were able to go from there to some acquaintances who were on a separate part of the island that did not flood. So we were able to stay with them for a couple of days until we were able to evacuate by plane.
Wow. So I'm just imagining even the thought process of coming out of the attic.
Right? All of it. Yeah.
All of it. Like thinking, okay, the water's receded from the house, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Go out the door. And then you don't even know what's going to be waiting for you outside. Like, are there even going to be people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or should you just stay in the attic?
Yeah. No idea. And by the time we started to see the water go down, that was the point where it's like, okay, we've survived. There's no more risk of immediate death. But then it's like you come down the ladder and the entire house looks like a bomb went off on the inside. Like it's been in a washing machine for 24 hours. Everything's broken. Everything's wrecked. Our living room couch is sitting on our kitchen island.
Right.
Fridges upended, everything's broken, broken glass everywhere. You're walking and it's crunching under your feet. Thankfully, we all had on sneakers, so we didn't like cut feet or anything.
But the things don't even think about.
No,
the layers.
The things you don't think about.
Wow. So you're coming downstairs, you're seeing this devastation, but you must be just so panicked about everything that you can't even take it in.
No, there's very little processing. It's like,
sure.
I'm standing in the room like, what do we do now?
Right.
Within 20 minutes of coming out of the attic, the rescuers arrived. So right. We had put out an SOS 24 hours before with the, we need help. It had taken 24 hours for the storm to be gone enough for anyone to come out without risking their own lives. I mean, they were still risking their lives, but not to the degree of, you know, 185 mile an hour winds. Right. You can't go out in that.
Right. Now, what do you mean by we put out an SOS? What is that?
So that was, we had connection with the outside world up until the point we went into the attic. So okay. we had cellular signal. We had internet access. We could check the storm and see where it was and what it was doing. We could tell our friends and family that our house was filling up with water. Mm-hmm. And then it was, the waters reached countertop height. We need help now. We need someone to come and get us. We know no one can come and get us.
Right.
But we need someone, please help.
Yeah. So people at least knew that there were humans in this
yes.
house.
Yes.
To
people
go look
knew.
For after.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were some of the very first that were evacuated. Following yeah. the storm.
Great.
Because it had been 24 hours since anyone had heard from us. Because we had a young child.
Yep.
So we were some of the very first.
Wow. This is an incredible story. What a process you've gone through with this. I can't even imagine where you go next. And I'm so excited to dive into that with you. Because that is just like a whole other layer. Like, because you've just survived this thing. But Now you need to figure out where you're going to live and where you're going to go and what you're going to do. You don't even have time to sit and think. Like, it's not like this happened and now you get to go home and take a nap
no.
or rest on the couch. There's none of that. So let's dive into this in the next episode, because I cannot wait to hear that experience. But thank you for sharing it with us so far.
Yes. Look forward to sharing the rest.
Tell us where we can find your book. And find
so,
you.
So, yes. So it's www.tarapyfrom.com, TARAPYFROM. The book is available for pre-order through the website, and it will be in retail stores, so in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon next summer. So you can get it now, order it through the website.
Perfect. Well, Tara, you are inspiring. Thank you for sharing your time with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
In the next episode, Tara will continue her story and share how she used storytelling to process her trauma and reconnect with herself. Until then, take a moment for yourself and remember, you are an amazing mom just as you are. I would love to hear how this episode has helped you. Scroll down to the comments or reviews and leave me a note there. This will make a big impact in helping moms like us find the show. Make sure to click those 5 stars and follow so you can join me on this journey of finding ourselves.